The Gemara Sanhedrin on Daf Nunches brings down the Kusi Shehikas Yisrael Chayiv Misa. Kusi, who hits a Jew, is Chayiv Misa. And we derive this from the Pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu saw there was an Egyptian who was hitting one of his brethren, meaning a Jew. And Moshe looked this way and he looked that way and he smote the Egyptian and he hit him in the sand. So from here we derive that the Egyptian, for hitting the Jew, was Chayiv Misa, and Moshe administered to him this death penalty. He judged him, he executed him, and he hid him in the sand. So therefore, Kusi, Shehiko Yisrael, Chayiv Misa. There's a controversy about whether this applies only to a Kusi, Shehiko Yisrael, or whether this also applies to a Kusi, Shehiko, Kusi. Does it only apply if the guy hits a Jew? Does it apply even if the guy hits a guy? A guy is Chayiv Misa for hitting another guy. So what does this depend on? There are three basic rayos that the Chidushi Haran brings that come to bear on this sugya, and I want to discuss them one by one. First of all, there's a discussion when we have an Egyptian hitting the Jew. So it was an Ish Mitzvi, was Makeh Ish Ivri, Me'achav. He was hitting an Ish Ivri, a man from the other side, an Ivri man. So what exactly does that mean? So we should know that there's a tremendous, tremendous debate, primarily in Achronim, but to some extent also in Rishonim, about the status of the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov during the period between the time when those descendants came into existence and the time of Matan Torah. During that interim period, did these descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov have the status of Bnei Yisrael? Or in that interim period, did they have the status of Goyim? So first of all, on the surface, it's clear to us what the Nafkamina is. That the Ish Mitzvi was being Makeh Ish Ivri. He was hitting a descendant of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He was hitting an Ish Ivri, but that was still before Matan Torah. So if the Ish Ivri had the din of a Yisrael, of a Ben Yisrael, after Matan Torah, so then one might restrict this halacha, that there's a Chiyuv Misa for being Makeh Yisrael, dafka to a person who has a Shem Yisrael, the same of after Matan Torah. However, if we were to say that there's no such thing as Bnei Yisrael, or as a Ben Yisrael, before Matan Torah, that before Matan Torah there were only Bnei Noach, and even an Ish Ivri was also only classified as a Ben Noach. So then, the Ish Mitzvi was Chayiv Misa for being Makeh Ish Ivri. There's no difference between this Makeh Ish, this Ish Ivri who was being hit, and another Ish Mitzvi who was being hit. In the end of the day, they're all Bnei Noach. So if we hold that the Avos and their descendants had a status of Bnei Yisrael even before Matan Torah, then Makeh Ish Ivri can be Dafka. And a guy who hits a guy could be Potter. But if we hold that the Avos and their descendants were only Bnei Noach before Matan Torah, so then Makeh Ish Ivri is just another Ben Noach, and then we could learn from there that a guy, Shehika guy, is also Chayiv Misa. So this is, as I said, a major debate amongst the Rishonim. One interesting thing that the Prashas Drachim, which is the sefer that the Mishnah Lamelech wrote of Drashos Halat Torah, so he brings down 30 examples where he claims that the Avos themselves, or the Shvatim themselves, right, were arguing about whether the Jews, they had a status of Bnei Yisrael before Matan Torah or not. So the most famous example is Yosef and the Shvatim. Yosef, according to Rashi, saw the Shvatim were eating what looked like Eiver Minachai. But in reality, what they were eating was a ben pakua. It was an animal whose mother was shechted while it was still in the womb. And such an animal is permitted for a Jew to eat, because for a Jew, the ikur that defines something is shechita, and therefore this animal is considered shachot since its mother was shachot while it was still in the womb. And for Bnei Noach, it's aser to eat, because for Bnei Noach, what defines an animal being permitted is the fact that the animal is dead. Not that the animal is shechted, that the animal is dead. For a Jew, an animal which is shechted but not necessarily dead yet is still mutter to eat. For a Ben Noach, an animal which is dead, even if it's not shechted, is mutter to eat. Two different hagdaros. So Yosef saw the brothers eating this animal which was shechted but not dead. So he said, I hold that we, the Shvatim, are B'nai Noach. So therefore, what they're doing is an Isser. They're eating from a live animal, and the fact that it's Shechted makes no difference. So he went and he told Yaakov Avinu, they're doing an Isser. They're eating from a live animal. But what would the Shvatim hold? The Shvatim held that they were B'nai Yisrael already, and that all that makes a difference is that the animal is Shechted, not that the animal is dead. So therefore, the animal is Shechted. It was permitted for them to eat. So the Parashas Drachim says, there's a machlokas between Yosef and the Shvatim about whether the descendants of the Avos were considered B'nai Yisrael before Matan Torah or not. That's basically the Parashas Drachim's approach, and he applies this to a score of machlokos, or he creates a score of machlokos and then defines them all in terms of this amongst the Avos and the Shvatim and other historical characters in Tanakh. Just lechora, what this is talian is as follows. What exactly is it that defines nationhood, or that defines Jewish nationhood? Is it simply the idea of being distinct from the surrounding clans and the surrounding tribes and the surrounding nations? Avraham Avinu was already distinct. He was Avraham HaIvri. He was on one side and everyone else was on the other side. He had different hashkafos from them. He had different values from them. He had different theology from them. So Mimela, he was already different. So maybe that already made him a nation of one. And then it increased from there. That's one possibility. That maybe nation is defined by distinctiveness. That doesn't seem to be adapted by anybody. A second possibility of what defines nationhood is in terms of having different mitzvos. The B'nai Noach have 7 or 8 or 9, whatever the number of mitzvos are. Then Avraham Avinu came along and he got the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And Yitzchak Avinu came along and he got other mitzvahs. Yaakov Avinu got the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe, etc. So now the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov have more mitzvahs than the rest of the B'nai Noach. Because the B'nai Noach are not mitzvahim in Milah. The B'nai Yisrael are mitzvahim in Milah. The B'nai Noach are not mitzvahim in Gid Anoshe. The B'nai Yaakov are mitzvahim in Gid Anoshe. So, and then in Mitzrayim, Amram got more mitzvahs. Moshe got more mitzvahs in Mitzrayim. So perhaps with each additional mitzvah, that already increases our distinctiveness, but not just in the sense of having different theology or different ideology. It increases distinctiveness in a very concrete sense. We now are obligated by a Kaddish Baruch Hu in more mitzvahs. So that's the yisod of nationhood. That we're mechoyev in more mitzvahs, and that already makes a separate category out of us. Similar to what the Gemara says, that an Eved, right, is Yatza Miklal Ben Noach, but the Klal Yisrael Lo Ba, because he has already a different combination of mitzvahs that he's chayiv in. He's chayiv in mitzvahs ki'isha, but he's not necessarily chayiv in mitzvahs ki'ish, and that already gives him a different category. So the same thing, B'nai Yisrael, by getting more mitzvahs, were Yotzei Miklal B'nai Noach, and L'Klal Yisrael, you know, maybe they already were distinct. They are already considered an Ish Yisrael. So from there we can derive that Maka Ish Ivri, that a Goy Shaharag Shehika, Goy Shehika Yisrael only is Chayiv Nisa, not Goy Shehika Goy, because Klal Yisrael were already distinct and they had extra mitzvos in Mitzrayim. This is the position that the Ran takes. However, the position of many is that neither of these define or distinguish Jewish nationhood. It's not the distinctive ideology and theology. It's not even the distinctive set of mitzvos. It was Matan Torah, which created the Jewish nation. Before Matan Torah, there was no Jewish nation, even though there was a distinct Jewish ideology and a distinct Jewish theology and a distinct, perhaps even Jewish set of mitzvos. But nationhood, for the Jews to cease to be B'nai Noach and to become B'nai Yisrael, required Matan Torah. But Matan Torah, there was a Geiros process, there was Tevilah, there was Hartzah's Damim, there were many other things. There was also a critical mass. There were 600,000 men between 20 and 60, maybe 3 million or whatever number of Jews total, including women and children. It was that which was required. It was that process undergone by the Rabbim together with Matan Torah. A lot of things that took place to make the Jews a nation. Before Matan Torah, despite the fact that they had distinctive ideology and distinctive mitzvos, they were not necessarily a nation. They were not distinct from the B'nai Noach. So this is one issue that informs the Machlokas about whether Goy Shehika Goy is Chayev Nisa or whether Goy Shehika Goy is Potter. The other two issues I want to mention very quickly now, because we're running out of time. One issue is the overlap between Gneva Gzela and Chavala. If you hold that Gneva and Gzela are essentially the same thing as Chavala, to steal somebody's money is the same as to hit them, the same as to cause them a wound, So then one could easily understand why a guy shehika guy is chayav misa. Because if I cause a wound, or if a guy causes a wound to another guy, it's the same as stealing a cow or stealing a radio from another guy. So under those circumstances, it's clear that loishna yisra loishna guy. A guy shehika guy is chayav misa because it's part of the mitzvah of lo sigzal that applies to Gayim. Gayim, one of the seven mitzvahs is Gneva and Gzela. If they steal, they're Chayiv Misa. So if they hit somebody, they're Chayiv Misa. So this is another big discussion about what exactly is the relationship between Gneva and between Chavala. Some people will say, well, no, Gneva is causing him a loss of money. Chavala is causing him a wound in his body. They're two separate things. They're two separate actions. Other people will say, no, it's more abstract. Perhaps there's more to it than just that. Perhaps the idea is that in both cases, I'm depriving him of certain, you know, use of certain functionality, whether it's functionality of his body, whether it's functionality of his money. In the end of the day, I'm depriving him of something that was his before, of some power or strength that was his before, and therefore that's the yisod. Other people will say that the yisod of both of them is that I'm causing him pain, I'm causing him tsar by depriving him of something. It's not so, meaning that would be why Goyim are chayiv, even if they steal just in order to cause somebody pain, even if they're going to return it right away, they're chayiv maybe even if on pachos mishava pruta, because tsaira b'shaita iko, there's pain right now. Maybe that's the sort of gzela. It's not simply depriving a person, you know, of his money or causing money to change rishus, but it's more the chiyuv is because I'm causing him pain. So again, they would have that same tzara shava between the two of them, is that it would be either pain or deprivation of use of strength and of money. But on the other hand, if one defines the actions purely by the way that they appear to the onlooker and say that the action is not defined by its outcome, but rather by the action itself, so then it's easier, you know, to draw a distinction between chavala begufo, between hitting his body, and chavala bimimono, and sort of depriving him of his money. So that's a second issue. If we hold that gezel is simply a type of chavala bimimono, so then chavala begufo, hitting his body, is also going to be chayiv even for a guy who hits a guy. But if you hold that gezel is distinct, it's not defined as chavala bimimono, it's something totally separate. And the chavala begufo is something totally separate. In that case, so then a guy, shehika guy, would be pater, because there's only a special giloy, there's only a special gzeras akasar that he's chayiv by guy shehika yisrael. And the third issue, also very much bekitzer, is in terms of the minyan hamitzvos, that if you hold that goy shehika goy is chayev misa, so the question becomes, why is it that there's a separate mitzvah of ritzicha? L'cha'ora, if a goy shehika goy is chayev misa because of gezel, if I deprive him of the use of his arm, or of the use of some of his blood, or whatever it is, and I'm chayev misa, so kol shekin v'kol shekin, if I deprive him of his life, that's just stealing his life from him. So why do I need a separate mitzvah for goyim not to kill other goyim? They already have a mitzvah not to hurt another guy. Kol shekin, they have a mitzvah not to kill the other guy. So that's a question. Why do we need two separate mitzvahs for that? That's such a big question that the Rambam seems to say that for goyim there's more than one penalty. That for a guy who kills a guy, we actually execute that, the murderer. It's a chiyuv misa for that. But when we say that a guy, shehika Yisrael, or maybe hu adin guy shehika guy, is chayiv misa, we don't literally mean that we execute the murderer. What we mean is that we tell the murderer, you ought to be executed, and then we punish him with something else. So that's the answer for the Rambam, that there's no redundancy in terms of the mitzvos, because the one of them, the penalty is really capital punishment. The other, the penalty is some other penalty, and we tell him that he deserves capital punishment. So these are the three issues. Number one, whether Bnei Yisrael before Matan Torah that are considered Bnei Yisrael, or whether they're considered Bnei Noach. Number two is whether the Isser of Gzela and the Isser of harming one's fellow's body are the same exact Isser when it comes to Bnei Noach, or whether they're two separate Isurim, whether they're defined as totally distinct things. And then the third one is the question of whether or not there's a redundancy between the Isser of Chavala and the Isser of Ritzicha, and that may depend on whether the penalty for Chavala is a real death penalty or whether it's just a fake death penalty, some other penalty when we tell him that he deserves a death penalty.